And good morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. Election Day is now just 2 weeks away, and you might think the candidates and the campaigns have said all they have to say. They've been out there long enough, but the candidates and the campaigns apparently have lots more to say to Minnesotans. John Edwards is in Hibbing this afternoon. George Bush is in Rochester tomorrow afternoon. John Kerry is in Minneapolis on Thursday. Dick Cheney is in Rosemont on Friday. And both sides are flooding the airwaves with ad after ad, trying to fire up the faithful and woo the undecideds. All of this attention seems to underscore Minnesota's presumed status as a purple state, neither Republican red nor Democrat blue. Presidential race is still thought to be very close here in the state of Minnesota, and during this hour of midday, we're going to catch up on some of the latest developments. Joining us here in the studio are political analysts and activists Amy Klobuchar and Maureen Shaver. In their other lives, Democrat Amy Klobuchar is the Hennepin County Attorney. Republican Maureen Shaver has worn several hats, including work as a lobbyist at the state capitol. As always, we invite you to join our conversation. We're talking about the presidential campaign with a special focus on the race here in Minnesota. And if you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call, 651-227-6000. That's our Twin City area number, 651-227-6000. Toll-free number is 1-800-242-2828. Or as always, you can send in your question or comment online. Go to our website, minnesotapublicradio.org, and click on Send a Question. Thanks for coming over this morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be on.
Now, 2 weeks to go before people actually get to vote here in Minnesota, before official election day anyway. Best you can tell, is the race a toss-up here in the state of Minnesota? Maureen?
I think, Gary, Minnesota is very much in play, as well as Wisconsin and Iowa, which makes the upper Midwest a targeted area for both Senator Kerry and President Bush. President has been in Minnesota twice in just less than 2 weeks. He'll be here again tomorrow. I think that speaks to the fact that he knows he can win the state if he wants.
Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah, I'd agree. The stakes are high and the state is close. I do think when you look at the polls over the last few months, Senator Kerry has emerged as a leader. It's been closer at times than others, but he's always basically a little bit ahead. And I think that's significant when you look at it over time. You also have the fact that we have one of the biggest get-out-the-vote efforts in the country going on here. Jeff Blodgett, who was Paul Wellstone's former campaign manager, is heading that up for the Kerry campaign. I talked to him the other day. He said people are just pouring into the headquarters on University Avenue. They're in the old Wellstone headquarters, and really unprecedented numbers of people that are working to get out the vote on the election day, and we believe that's going to be good for Democrats and good for John Kerry.
Do the Republicans have a similar big push to actually get voters to the polls?
Gary, Ben Whitney is running the Bush-Cheney team here in Minnesota. I spoke to him yesterday, and they expect to a voter contact of almost 1 million people in the next 15 days. That'll be by phone. They've identified Bush supporters. They'll be doing door-to-door. It's frankly an effort for a presidential race that Amy and I have probably never witnessed in our lifetime.
Is that going to make the difference here?
I think it will make a big difference. And you look around the country, there was an article in the New York Times a few weeks ago that said that voter registration in Democratic areas of the swing states is up 225%, up 25% in Republican areas. And we have the added volatility here in Minnesota. Maureen and I were just talking about it, that you have same-day registration. And I believe, you know, if you look back in history, say at the Wellstone Boswich, the first race when Wellstone won, or the Ventura race, those candidates probably wouldn't have emerged as the winner 2 weeks out. And so we have a lot of people showing up on Election Day. I think that's going to help John Kerry as more and more people who haven't traditionally voted are coming out to vote and getting interested in this campaign.
Mechanics always matter, and I think we've found that time and time again throughout the last several presidential races. In Minnesota, the Republicans in Minnesota are doing what they need to do to turn out the base, which is really what it's all about. That's why the president's coming here. That's why Senator Kerry is coming here. It is to go in and go back to those traditional messages that will make Republicans and, frankly, Democrats, too, get to the polls. So I think everything is about mechanics and getting out that vote in the next 2 weeks.
How are you gonna
go ahead.
I just add one thing to that, is that one difference for the Democrats is they're really pushing in the suburbs and the rural areas where they didn't push as much sometimes in the past. And in fact, some national numbers are showing that while Bush is ahead in the rural areas, that lead is not as significant. It's half as it was in the Midwest in those rural areas when Gore was running. So I think you have that factor going on, as well as the fact that you've got some moderate Republicans, and Marine is one of my favorite moderate Republicans, but you have moderate Republicans that have said they're supporting John Kerry, like Elmer Anderson, the former governor, wrote an editorial in the Star and Tribune. Peter Gillette has one in today. Arnie Carlson's former commissioner of economic development and trade. And so you have a little bit beyond the Democratic base in some of the efforts that are being made. I mean, clearly those editorials are showing up because the Kerry campaign knows that they are attracting some moderate Republicans who are very unhappy with the large deficit that we have, with some of the economic policies, and with the status of the war.
So, Maureen, are you supporting John Kerry?
No, I'll be supporting President Bush.
But by the end of the hour.
You can work on me, Amy. I think what's most interesting, and Amy brings out some interesting points, but Al Gore carried Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. President Bush is going to be here more than once in all three of those states in the next 2 weeks. What I think that's showing is clearly their national polling and their internal polling here in Minnesota and those three states shows they are within reach. And frankly, that's why Senator Kerry has to be coming back to Minnesota, because he does not have this locked up. If he wants to win this election, I think he probably has to win Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota, just like Al Gore did. And I think all three of those are clearly within reach of President Bush.
Now, these campaign visits that we're being treated to, all four of the top candidates are here this week. The purpose is what? To fire up the faithful, or to woo those five undecided people wherever they are in the state of Minnesota? Yes. What is the actual point of this?
I know, when you see John Edwards going to Hibbing, which is very exciting. I was talking to Senator Tomasoni last night about this. You know, they're going to have thousands of people, a lot of steel workers out of work up there. I mean, clearly the purpose there is to make sure that the Democratic voters are going to be there. But I do think you still see this effort going on with some of the things that have been in the paper, and some of the reach out, especially with women and Republican women, that's going on, that in the visits that John Kerry has made to Rochester and places like that, that there are some inroads that the campaign believes that they can make with moderate Republicans because of the issues and because of John Kerry's performance in the debate. But a lot of these, as Marina said, are to get out the vote, to get out the base.
Mm-hmm. Maureen?
I believe that if you just listen to the themes that the candidates are stressing now, not only here in Minnesota, but throughout the country, they're going back to their traditional messages. The president is talking about personal safety. The president is talking about educational accountability. The president is talking about how he would handle fiscal matters differently than Senator Kerry. That's all to make sure that that base knows that there's a big difference between these two candidates. And frankly, I think they'll spend the next 2 weeks talking mostly about those things. As you said, there are those five undecided voters out there. But frankly, I think from the Bush perspective, he is going to focus on leadership, and he's going to focus on what's important about, if you reelect him, what he'll do in the future, versus Senator Kerry, which is having to spend a fair amount of time pointing out what he believes are the differences between the two candidates, not necessarily setting out the same vision. That might work with those five undecided voters. But right now, it is really about motivating Minnesotans to get out for their candidate.
Talking this hour about the presidential race in general, specific focus, of course, being on what's happening here in the state of Minnesota. And there is a lot happening in the state of Minnesota. As we noted, all four of the, well, both vice presidential candidates, both presidential candidates are visiting Minnesota this week alone. We thought it'd be a great opportunity to catch up on what's going on, what might happen. Joining us here in the studio, Maureen Shaver, who is a longtime Republican activist, and Amy Klobuchar, longtime Democrat, DFL activist. If you would like to join our conversation, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Toll-free number, 1-800-242-2828. Or as always, you can use our online service. Go to our website, minnesotapublicradio.org, and click on Send a Question. Much angst, as you folks know, not only here in Minnesota, but apparently around the country, about the ability and or willingness of election officials to actually count the votes and let people vote who are supposed to be able to vote. Is that just paranoia, or is there genuine cause for concern?
I believe there is some cause for concern given what happened just 4 years ago in Florida. And I know here in Minnesota, we have always prided ourselves in how we run elections. I know in our county, Hennepin County, we've been heralded nationally for how we run elections. We have a Republican board chair. We have a Republican who's head of our elections. And I'm a Democrat. We've worked very well on this together. But we do have some concerns. I know that our head of our elections in the county has some concerns with some of the ways that the Secretary State here has handled things. There's been a lot of disputes going on, but I'm hopeful that in the end that we will be able to have a fair election. That if we lose people's trust in the election system, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or where you come from, this can't happen. This can't happen in our state. And I'm hopeful that this will work out. People have been working around the clock to make sure that the machinery is working and that the procedures are in place. There's going to be poll watchers, bevies of lawyers from all the campaigns to make sure that things are working right. And I'm hopeful that that will happen in Minnesota.
Maureen?
Gary, I think both campaigns right now are focusing on ensuring fair elections here in Minnesota. That's why we had a little bit of a flap this last week about the appointment of election judges and making sure all major parties were representative. But I don't think that Minnesota will have the technical or the voter registration problems that have been identified throughout the country. I think our system has been, first of all, we tax it every 4 years. We really use it because we have the highest turnout of most in throughout the country for presidential elections. So we're getting better at it. We're getting it down. But I do think what's different this year is that in the past, frankly, the Republicans have not put the kind of effort into poll watchers and judges as we have done in the past because Minnesota hasn't been a targeted state. That has something that we are seeing much more this year, probably both on the Democrat and Republican side. So people are paying attention to that process and to recruiting individuals. And there's been quite frequent recruitment of people to serve in those roles throughout Minnesota.
Setting aside Minnesota for a moment, is there a legitimate concern that one side or the other might steal this election or try to steal the election nationally? Maureen?
I'm not sure that it's I think there's going to be a lot of talk about it. I think journalists are going to spend a lot of time thinking about it. I don't know that one party or the other has a better handle on that one way or the other. I'm not worried about the integrity overall of our election system, but I do think there's going to be pockets around the country, and if it is going to be so close. We've never taxed it this way as we did 4 years ago, and we will again this year. There will be elections, especially in these swing states, that will be so close that every vote does matter. But I think, as you've seen in both media reports recently, that both campaigns, frankly, are also up and ready in those states where they expect trouble with legal teams and others observing the elections, so that, frankly, they can kick that process into place if they feel there's been problems in a state the day after the election.
Amy?
Well, I believe they're still concerned. I talked to someone else the other day who had talked to an elderly woman from Florida who actually was flying down to Florida to vote because she didn't trust the absentee ballot system there. I think that if this happens again and it's that close, it's going to be devastating for our country and for trust in our electoral system. The way things are going, it's so sad that people don't have the things that we do in Minnesota, which Joan Groh had worked so hard for. Same day registration. If we could have the same system all over the country, I don't think you'd have these kinds of concerns that they do with cutting people off, suppressing the vote. Same day registration, to me, seems to be the answer to make sure that everyone's included in the vote instead of arbitrarily cutting off their right to vote.
One last question. I want to get some listeners involved here. In a general sense, as people have either made up their mind as to who they're going to support or are in the process of doing so, those five people that we talked about earlier, what in your mind is the big determiner here, the big factor, issues or the candidates themselves?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a little more than five people, Gary, because I've been out there door knocking in Northfield and Bemidji and these places. There's a number of people that still are haven't made up their mind or could easily switch their minds. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And there are most importantly...
All right, six people.
Oh, stop it. No, there are. You got to get out there. You'll be surprised. And then you also have, you know, all these people, as we've said, I think to me, the number one factor is, are these people going to come and vote? The 22 million single women in the country that didn't vote. Before. There's a number of groups that haven't voted. As for the issues and what's going on, clearly this campaign has been, especially since the debate, has been a debate about the issues in this country, the record of the president. And I think John Kerry successfully switched this debate after enduring $100 million of negative advertising from the Republican Party and its friends, which really tried to make him out as a cartoon character. He took the stage of that debate and people saw, this is a leader. This is a man who knows what he's doing. And it became, in effect, since then, I believe, indictment of the president's record, looking at this big deficit that has been rung up. You know, we've gone to a $422 billion deficit this past year, looking at the war and the way the American public was misled to go into that war. When he's standing there in a flight suit saying mission accomplished, when 100 people today were killed or hurt there in Iraq. I mean, it's just much different discussion than we were having this late in the summer about swift boats. It has changed into a discussion on the president's record, the skyrocketing health care costs, the fact that nothing's been done about that, that nothing's been done about child care. The debate has switched, and I think that's good for the Kerry Edwards campaign, and the polls have certainly showed that.
Maureen?
I think, Gary, your question got back to those undecideds, and are they looking at issues or are they looking at the candidate? The issues, we've heard the issues. I think right now, people who are still undecided are wondering who's the best person to take us through the next 4 years. David Brooks in the New York Times this morning had a great article, and he said smart candidates are launching attacks that play up the doubts voters already have about their opponents. Kerry is launching attacks that play up doubts voters have about him. The New York Times poll this morning indicated that a majority of Americans continue to see Mr. Kerry as an untrustworthy politician. That's what they are focusing on now. People on the right, people on the left, they know who they're going to vote for. They know whether they support the war in the Iraq or don't support the war in Iraq. They know where they support tax cuts or don't support tax cuts. People who are undecided right now are really looking for a leader. And I think that is when President Bush comes down and in the end will carry the day.
Talking this hour about politics, obviously, presidential politics, more specifically and most specifically, the race here in the state of Minnesota. Our guests this hour, longtime activists and analysts, Amy Klobuchar and Maureen Shaver. Amy is the Democrat. Maureen is the Republican. We have a full bank of callers, but let me give you the number here. Why don't you try us in a couple of minutes? I'd like to get your question on 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Again, you can use our online service. Go to our website, minnesotapublicradio.org, and click on Send a Question. First caller's from South Dakota. Catherine, go ahead, please.
I just have a comment on the campaign visits.
Yes.
I think they either have a tendency to enthuse or to infuriate. And just being a student on the campus of Brookings, SDSU, I'm finding that people are more infuriated the more President Bush comes to South Dakota and to Minnesota.
Why do they get mad?
Well... They don't want to hear it anymore.
Heard enough?
Simply, yeah.
Okay. Is there a chance that all this attention is going to start backfiring on the candidates?
I don't think that's true. I know it's certainly expensive. It's a lot of work for the police and local law enforcement when they come, and sometimes, you know, the roads are blocked off. But I think one of the reasons the candidates keep coming is they know that when they come to certain areas, it helps them. It helps them to actually meet the people in the areas when they go, like Senator Edwards is doing today, up to Hibbing. A president or vice presidential candidate hasn't been up there in years to Hibbing, and that's a big deal to people, and it should be that He is demonstrating that he cares about what's going on in that area with the loss of jobs, with the economy, and that he wants to do something about it. So I know it can be a hassle and people get tired of this, but remember, this election is going to define this country probably for the next, our lifetime. And it's a very important election, and people get tired of politicians. But what matters here is that people are able to hear about the issue. 62 million Americans watched that first debate with similar numbers in the rest. It shows a very heightened interest in this election because people know that the stakes couldn't be higher.
15,000 people showed up to hear President Bush 2 weeks ago on probably the most spectacular Minnesota day we've had in 3 months. I think that it people turn out to see these candidates, to learn about them. I understand what she said. I'm not quite sure I would agree with the fact that bringing a candidate in infuriates the other side, but I think it really does charge up your supporters, and I think in Minnesota it's been a very long time since we've had this attention, and I think it's going to be good for our election.
Gary, your question, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I live in Chanhassen, and when the president came a couple weeks ago, there were several Kerry supporters who are Chanhassen taxpayers who waited in line for tickets, and when they showed up wearing their Kerry t-shirts, were forcibly removed and threatened with arrest at that rally. And I'd like to hear the comments of the of your guests on that practice, especially given that taxpayers end up footing the bill in large part for these visits.
Maureen?
Well, I believe the reality is there are a lot of volunteers in Minnesota. They had more tickets. They weren't even able to get all the people in who are supporters of the president. I think that to see him, I do think it's appropriate for people to come who are undecided and don't know. But I can certainly sympathize with the campaign not necessarily wanting to bring in people from the other candidacy who are there, frankly, to highlight their candidates' positions as well as potentially to disrupt things. So I don't have any problem necessarily with people who were Kerry supporters. If those people had chosen to come because they were undecided and had gotten the tickets just like everybody else, that would have been fine. But I don't really think that was their purpose.
Mm-hmm. I think the Bush campaign has made a mistake in how they've handled this. They have, in fact, the caller is right, vetted people, including kids, you know, if they have a sticker in their wallet or something like that. And the Kerry campaign has not done that to that extent. And I think it's been very unfortunate. I think people have a right to come and see a political candidate. That's what our democracy is about. And when Senator Edwards came to Maple Grove a week ago or so, I spoke at that event. 11,000 people there by the police estimate. 5,000 got in the door. Another 1,500 got into a holding area for a vice presidential candidate. And I didn't see any kind of vetting or checking people for what they were wearing at that event. And it was a very good rally. And I think it's unfortunate. I think the more exposure we can have, the better our democracy is.
Do you think were there people at the Edwards rally with Bush signs, Bush materials, and so on?
You know, I remember seeing some people outside. It was such a big crowd that it would be hard to know who all was there. It was a supportive crowd of Senator Edwards, but I don't think that they were checking people.
Would they have been allowed in if they would have shown up, I mean, all decked out with Bush stuff?
All I know is that what I've been hearing in the national news is that the Bush campaign has been much more ferocious about checking people's IDs and looking for buttons and T-shirts and things like that.
Maureen, David Brooks, who you mentioned earlier, New York Times columnist, conservative, and so on, I heard him on TV more than once saying he thinks that President Bush has been hurt by this effort to limit the crowds, who appears in these crowds. That it was his argument that the president would have been better served by confronting, dealing with people who oppose him. And all he's ever heard, all he hears are people who, you know, we love Bush. You think that's some truth to that?
I think that's a fair assessment. I do think that the campaign made a decision early on to be consistent about making sure the people who support the president and people who have never had a chance to hear him had an opportunity to do that. I think it would be a little disingenuous to say that he hasn't confronted or worked or addressed people that have differences of opinion with him. He's been in office for 4 years, so that might not be it. But I also don't agree that he's going to the extent that Amy suggests about pulling children aside or others and looking in their wallets. I do think that if her child or my child were going to an event, it's probably more appropriate that Amy's child got to go in and see Senator Edwards and my child got to go in and see President Bush. But that's just a difference of opinion.
Let's get one more question on here before we break for news. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. As one who's decided for the other candidate, Ralph Nader, I was wondering exactly what the two thought his chances of tipping the balance one way or another are here in Minnesota.
Okay.
And as the only anti-war candidate really out there, it's amazing to hear the Democrats say that they would like to hear more opportunity given what they've done to Ralph Nader in this past trying to get on the ballot. So I'd like to hear what they have to say about Ralph Nader's chances here.
Close election. Is Nader or any of the other candidates for that matter going to get enough votes to make a difference here in the state of Minnesota?
I think it's possible, but I believe that Senator Kerry is going to pull it out here. We're looking at now down to 1% for Ralph Nader's support nationally and in Minnesota. But given how close it can be, it can make a difference. So I know that the Kerry campaign is talking to Nader supporters like yourself, sir, and saying, what are you doing? This man this time is supported by a number of high-level Republican donors. He got a lot of money from people that have given money to President Bush. Winona LaDuke, his running mate, just came out yesterday for John Kerry. And look at who you're supporting and what's going on this year. And I understand that people feel strongly about Ralph Nader and people feel that John Kerry doesn't represent everything that they want him to represent. But when you look at his record as a whole and you look at what he's been talking about, especially with the war, about changing course, about what he would do differently, I am hopeful that a lot of those Nader supporters will come over and vote for John Kerry.
Maureen?
I think this is a hard case to make that third party argument in Minnesota because we supported Jesse Ventura and he won. We have a long tradition of third party candidates. I do think there's no question that this is going to be a very close election and that Ralph Nader will have an impact in Minnesota.
Talking this hour about the presidential race, specific focus here in the state of Minnesota. We also expect we'll get to some conversation about the congressional races in the state, maybe some legislative races as well. Our guests, Republican Maureen Shaver and Democrat Amy Klobuchar. Full bank of callers. Let me give you the number here. You can try us in a few minutes if some of the lines clear. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Or use our online service. Go to our website, minnesotapublicradio.org, and click on Send a Question. Get to more of your questions in a couple minutes.
Programming is supported by Ecolab, dedicated to improving cleaning and sanitation standards for leading hospitality, healthcare, and food processing customers worldwide. On the web at ecolab.com. And by Global Impact Member Charities, International Rescue Committee, and Lutheran World Relief, committed to changing the world by supporting workplace giving. Details at charity.org.
This Friday on Mid-Morning, it's the culmination of Minnesota Public Radio's series on the education achievement gap. I'm Carrie Miller. Tune in for a town hall meeting with education leaders from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the state of Minnesota. You'll also hear some interesting ideas on how to fix the gap. Listen to Mid-Morning Friday at 9 on Minnesota Public Radio.
Right now, let's catch up on the latest headlines. Here's Stephen John. Stephen?
Thank you, Gary. A top European Union aid official calls today's abduction of a relief worker in Baghdad another blow against humanitarian work in Iraq. Al Jazeera TV has aired a brief videotape of the British-born woman who is CARE International's director in Iraq. It says the tape came from militants but didn't identify them. In new violence, the U.S. military said mortar attacks north of Baghdad killed an American contractor and at least four Iraqi National Guard members and wounded 80 Iraqis. South of the capital, Iraqi security forces and U.S. Marines carried out a sweep that arrested nearly 130 suspected insurgents. The average recipient can expect an extra $25 a month on Social Security checks next year. The checks get a 2.7% cost of living increase. Last month's announced $11.60 monthly Medicare premium hike will eat a big chunk of the increase. Alan Greenspan says the red ink swirling around many Americans isn't a serious threat to the economy. The Federal Reserve chairman says rising personal bankruptcy filings reflect pockets of distress, but he says most Americans can still pay their bills. Chronomed Incorporated says it will close its Minnetonka call center in February and eliminate 70 jobs. The closing is a result of Chronomed's pending merger with MIM Corporation of Elmsford, New York. The call center operations will be incorporated into MIM's center in Ohio. Most of Chronomed's 400 employees are based in the Twin Cities, and analysts say there could be more consolidation in the future if Chronomed's merger with MIM goes through. A group of Chronomed shareholders have sued to block the merger. Minnesota's corn and soybean harvests are running well behind the five-year average. The Minnesota Agricultural Statistics Service says corn harvesting is 14% complete, compared with a five-year average of 46%, and soybeans were 59% harvested, compared with 86% in an average year. Minnesota weather today, again, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain in the east and north. Some drizzle in parts of the area, including the Twin Cities right now, Gary, where it's 44 degrees.
All right, thanks, Stephen. 24 minutes now before 12 o'clock, over the noon hour. Again, as part of our continuing coverage of the presidential campaign, we're going to hear from National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. The City Club Forum in Cleveland has been running, having a series of high-profile guests in on the big issues. Their specific focus has been on foreign policy. We heard from Richard Holbrooke, who is speculated to be John Kerry's Secretary of State if Kerry becomes president. We heard from him about a week ago. Then the City Club had Condoleezza Rice in to lay out the president's position on national security issues, and so we will hear from her today. This hour we're focusing on the big picture of the presidential campaign, specific focus in Minnesota. Our guests, Amy Klobuchar, who in her other life doubles as the Hennepin County Attorney. She is a Democrat. And Maureen Shaver, who is a Republican. She's worn several hats over the years, including working as a lobbyist up at the state capitol. They're here to talk politics and also to answer your questions. And we have a question from Allison about voting procedures. Allison says, for those of us who voted by absentee ballot, can you explain how and when those votes will be counted and what potential impact they will have on the election?
Well, they're counted on election day, and they're usually included in the total. Sometimes you've seen things where, like in Florida, where the absentee ballots were included in the totals later. That can happen, and clearly sometimes when there is a big gap, not as close of an election, people aren't as concerned. But those will be counted. There's no doubt about it. They're included like any other vote and included in the totals.
Would it be a good thing for Minnesota to have this opportunity like folks in some other states, including Iowa and some counties in North Dakota, where you can, they're voting now, they're already voting?
Amy and I were talking about that before the show, and I think it's an interesting phenomenon, especially for people maybe who need more time at the voting booth and stuff too. But so much can happen in the last 15 days of a campaign, so you wonder. I think mechanically it's very good, especially in those states where they've had trouble. In states like Minnesota, where we have a system that's pretty much worked, and both Joan Groh and Mary Kiffmeyer have continued to make that process work. I'm not sure that it's necessary.
I like what I've said earlier was the same day registration, and I'd like to see it in other states. And as opposed to this kind of experiment, I think it would be more interesting if those states would be experimenting with same day registration so you can allow more people to vote. And people remember in Minnesota, you either have to bring your ID to the polls if you're going to register that day, or you have to have someone with you from your voting precinct who can vouch for you, or you have to have a utility bill that's a recent utility bill showing that you live there. And those are the ways you can register the same day.
Is it important, good advice anyway, to make sure you have some ID with you, even if you assume you're registered, in case there's a glitch?
I think it is, just because in case there's a challenge at the poll that you are who you are, that you're not necessarily knowing your neighbor as the person handing you the ballot. So absolutely, it makes sense to bring ID.
Yeah, and we have had, you know, over the years, our office, we get these after the fact. We get cases from the Secretary of State's office, and a lot of times it'll be someone with the same name, and they didn't double vote. You know, They only voted once. But sometimes we'll have cases where people really did double vote. We had one where they had the property line of the school district go through their house, and they decided they were mad about school district issues, so they were going to vote in both precincts. And then we told them that they couldn't do that and gave them a warning letter. And then they said, well, where do we vote then? We said, well, you vote where you sleep. And then they called back again. And then they said, well, what if my husband and I sleep in different rooms? We said, we don't want to know that. Please don't share that with us. But these questions can be very important, especially in a race like this. And I think with the increased poll watching, you're going to have all kinds of questions. I know that we're going to have lawyers on hand at our office to answer questions that come up from our county elections people, because they're going to, on a normal election day, we're swarmed with questions. But there's going to be a lot of questions that come up. And I think that's probably healthy given what we saw in Florida, where many people feel that election wasn't fair.
Jim from New London sends in an online question kind of along those lines. Jim asks you and other Democrats, Amy, are the Democrats willing to disrupt the domestic peace in this country by claiming election fraud if Bush wins by a narrow margin?
That's a lovely loaded question, sir. But I will say this, is that this election, if this happens again, where a significant number of people in the country feel that it's stolen from them, it is going to be a fatal blow, I think. We cannot let this happen again. So if there's going to be challenges, if it's close, of course there's going to be challenges. And I'm hopeful that they're going to be decided in a more fair manner than they were, we believe they were, in the last election. And if you want to talk about disrupting the domestic peace, I believe that there's been a lot of disruption to the domestic peace in the last 4 years by the way the Bush administration has handled the economy. I think the Crawford newspaper said it best, the hometown of the ranch. They endorsed George Bush 4 years ago, and this time they're endorsing John Kerry. And they said few Americans would have voted for George Bush 4 years ago if he had promised that as president he would empty the Social Security Trust Fund by $507 billion, that he would give tax cuts to businesses that send American jobs overseas, and that he would take a budget surplus and turn it into the worst deficit in the history of the United States. And they went on to say that they were endorsing Kerry not only because Bush hadn't done what he said he'd do, but also on the vision of a return to normality that Kerry says our country needs. So if you're going to talk about domestic peace, I'd like to return to some domestic peace too, but I view it in a different way.
Maureen, might you want to comment?
Well, Gary, I think that certainly I hope, especially in these swing states, that it is significant that President Bush wins these states by a significant amount of votes so we don't get into the same situation as after the last election. I think our country is more prepared, though, for that situation if we do, especially in these swing states. And I think, frankly, that no matter what happens, if George Bush wins Minnesota, Amy's going to think that it's not that there was something stolen from her. So
I think Democrats
in Minnesota have had a hard time looking at what's gone on in terms of where our state has turned. It has definitely turned more to the mid center, more to the conservative side, or looking at the candidates being put up by Democrats in Minnesota. And I think that we're going to just see what has happened since we have elected a governor statewide, a senator statewide, a Minnesota House statewide, added to our congressional delegation with Republicans. I think you will see that trend continue in Minnesota on Election Day.
Do you think Republican supporters of the president will be able to quietly acquiesce if President Bush wins the popular vote by perhaps a fairly healthy margin but loses the Electoral College vote?
I think advocates on both sides or activists on both sides will not quietly acquiesce at all. So I set that aside. I think it'll be difficult, just as it was for for Vice President Gore, and I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Let's see. Rex, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. And Gary, I always listen to your show and don't know what I'd do without you. You guys always present such a fascinating forum, and I'm pleased to be on your show.
Thank you. I'll get the check in the mail shortly.
You got that right. Listen, I'll tell you, this topic has turned into a very germane discussion this morning on C-SPAN. A guy named, I believe it's Greg Pallast, was talking about how the situation in Florida with their voting apparatus down there doesn't really have a paper trail, and that it would be very easy for another calamity such as we had in 2000 to happen again without the backup of having anything to count as we did 4 years ago. What's the process for the current state of the state of elections in Minnesota for the ballots Is there going to be a paper trail at all? And what is the backup plan if there is a disputed election runoff? You know, is there going to be anything to count? Will there be something concrete?
Because
this is really going to be a major issue this year.
Thanks, Rex.
We do have a paper trail in Minnesota. We have the, you know, the, you remember how you vote in Minnesota, where you actually get a piece of paper, and that piece of paper will be preserved. So I believe, as I said earlier, Minnesota, because of the pioneering work of Joan Grow and the support of the legislature, we have a very good system here. I think we're going to get more questions about it than ever, and that's probably a good thing, but our system is far superior to a lot of other states. That doesn't mean that things won't happen. Whenever you have a lot of people looking at things and you have, you know, volunteer election judges that are just there, I believe, and should be honored for their work, not sued. But when they're there doing their work, you know, they're volunteers. Some things are going to happen, and they try their best every day. But questions come up, and I think more than ever, they're going to have to be careful about calling with questions, the people that they report to, and that the poll watchers are going to be there making sure that people are doing everything right. You're always going to have situations where maybe one machine breaks down and they have to go get another machine. These things are going to happen. But I'm very hopeful that we will have a good election in Minnesota and a fair one.
We've had contested elections throughout our history in Minnesota and have been able to resolve them fairly. I'm not worried about that. But I would put a plug in for people to get to the polls on early. Give yourself enough time. Don't necessarily do it on the way to choir practice for church or to drop your child off at hockey. Make sure you give yourself time. There will be a lot of people at the polls. So take this seriously.
We're talking politics this hour. Our guests are longtime activists, Amy Klobuchar and Maureen Shaver. We have a full bank of callers, but if you'd like to send in your question or comment online, our web address is minnesotapublicradio.org. When you get there, click on Send a Question. I wanted to ask you about, let me put it this way. Lots of hand-wringing about the possibility of a sinister October surprise. Is that baseless?
Well, I think you are starting to see, you know, like this Sinclair Broadcasting showing this, the big controversy. I think one of their Washington, D.C. bureau chief resigned because he spoke out against the fact that this wasn't news and shouldn't be airing in this manner. You know, that's not October surprises in one issue coming up, but I think you're going to see some pretty amazing attacks going on and things happening that you might not expect. But I think the key is for the candidates to keep doing, staying on their message. I know that that's what John Kerry and John Edwards have been doing all along. They've been focusing on the future. They've been talking about how we can do better as a country. And that's how I believe they're going to win, surprise or no surprise.
Maureen?
I see October surprise in many, many lights. You can describe that. But I think Amy's right. There's going to be the impact of these 527-type organizations on these campaigns in the last 2 weeks. We know it. They've bought the time, media time, many, many weeks ago. So we're going to see many attacks back and forth. But frankly, I think they're going to cancel each other out. It won't be just one side or the other going after their opponents. And there was a famous Minnesota that once said, if you can't say anything negative about your opponent, you shouldn't be running. So this is what we can expect in the last couple of weeks. But those I see will be coming from organizations outside the campaigns.
Jen from Minneapolis, along those lines, says, age-old question, why must candidates resort to negative messages or mudslinging? It gives me a headache and masks the real issues.
Unfortunately, they work, though. Time and time again in both polling and focus group work, it shows that people respond to that, and especially people unlike our call or the online emailer, that they haven't made up their minds. These work with people who have not made up their minds, and traditionally you need to respond to them if you are a negative attack is put in your place, so that kind of digs up one from the other side sometimes.
And I believe when you look at these two campaigns, John Kerry and and John Edwards ran a very positive campaign. And the convention certainly embodied that. When you look at Barack Obama and his speech about unity and what the forward-thinking nature of the campaign and what they wanted to do, the Republican convention, Zell Miller, just the opposite. And then I think that then led off this barrage of negativity. I do think, though, it's not negative campaigning when you're looking at the record of an incumbent president for 4 years and saying, is this what you want going into the future for your children and for your grandchildren?
I think we watch different nights of each other's campaigns than or conventions, obviously. And I do think that that brings up another point in terms of the momentum from the conventions through the debates. Obviously, Senator Kerry had a good run in the debates, but that has stalled. It's clearly the polling is showing that that he has not got the momentum there. And I think he is moving towards the negative because he has a history of doing this throughout his Senate campaigns, as well as for the campaign for president for the endorsement, and that he's going negative and he starts to feel a little desperate. And I think you're going to start to see that in the next 2 weeks.
Talking about, well, go ahead, Amy.
Well, no, I just think when you look at desperation, it's things like Zell Miller at that convention. And when you look at desperation, it's some of these Swift Boat ads and Sinclair Broadcasting running these kinds of ads, or some of the things going on in some of the House races across the state. With putting up incumbent Democrats who I know will get reelected, pictures with signs of gay marriage and
now,
things like that.
Now, wait a minute. I don't believe there was any Republican House member that has been prosecuted for campaign problems this year. So I think we need to.
We're talking here about desperation in the last few weeks. And I.
Stealing campaign literature, a 20-year member.
Let's not talk about all the lawn signs going down in Wilmer. But I believe that the Democratic campaign has really focused on the future. And I know that's a tougher road as opposed to negative campaigning, but they have focused on what we can do better, how we can do things differently, how we can help families balance with childcare, how we can do better with our economy. And I think that's a good thing. And I think in the end, the American public's going to listen to that.
Polls. There have been scads of them already. There will be scads more before Election Day. And then over the weekend, right before the election, I'm guessing that we're going to get two big polls out from each of the major dailies. And in terms of full disclosure, we'll be connected with one of those, I imagine. My question about those polls is not whether they're accurate or not, but do they affect how people will vote come Election Day?
I think if there's a big swing in when Arne Carlson was 15 points ahead in the primary in 1990, I do think that dampened voter turnout because I thought everybody thought he was going to win. So if there's a huge margin like that, I think it can keep some people home. This election is too intense. There's going to be too much attention paid by both campaigns on Minnesota that I think all those polls are going to do is reflect a very tight race.
Amy?
Yeah, I mean, people do listen to those polls. But again, if that was true in Minnesota, Jesse Ventura wouldn't have been elected. I mean, clearly there is an independent streak here where people say, I'm going to do what's right for my family and for my neighborhood, and I'm going to go out and vote like I'm going to vote. And we just don't seem to be as affected by, you know, what the Zogby poll is saying or the Gallup poll is saying in Minnesota. So I'm hopeful that while people are looking at those polls and it's important for candidates to watch, that that's not going to affect things as much here.
Adam, your question, please.
Yeah, I have a question about the recent lawsuit filed by the Republican Party because they're not being equally represented as polling judges and polling representatives. Isn't that a problem with volunteering within the Republican Party, not so much as the state not picking the right, or the counties not picking the right people?
Yeah, I thought, as I will say, the caveat here is that I represent Hennepin County, and we are talking about this suit because in Hennepin, the cities actually pick the election judges. So, but I will say that Ramsey County has been saying that that is the issue, that they didn't get the number of volunteer judges from the Republicans that they did from the other party, and then they called through them, and then they were only able to get 50. So it seems to me that it may be a joint problem and shouldn't be a subject of this lawsuit, but we'll see what the Supreme Court says.
Well, certainly I don't don't think it was filed because Ramsey County didn't have enough Republican judges. That's probably not what they were concerned about. And I think the interesting thing from the Democrats' perspective is they found that they were over-Republican. They had too many Republicans in Olmsted County. This is just about ensuring that the state law that indicates we need to have a balance in our election judges is enforced.
Okay. Let's see. We have a question here, a basic question. From Joan, who asks, how does my presidential vote influence the electoral vote? Do all 10 Minnesota electoral votes go to the same candidate?
Yes, all 10 yes. of the electoral votes will go to the same candidate.
There is are some states like Colorado that have passed a referendum on the ballot where you can split the votes, and if that passes, that will also immediately affect their electoral vote. But with Minnesota, they go to one candidate.
Congressional races, we would be remiss if at least didn't mention them. Are any of the congressional races in Minnesota, there are 8 altogether, any of them expected to be close?
Well, I believe that Patty Wetterling race will be close. I think she's doing a fantastic job. The ads, when you look at those ads, she has one very good one about herself, and she's got one with some of the law enforcement people supporting her. Mark Kennedy has gone negative, which, again, I think it shows some desperation. Something must be wrong there for his numbers because he's running radio ads about her support and saying she has some liberal friends. And I think that she's really, she has like a 95% name identification and is doing well. Teresa Daly, another strong challenger with a good background in business and on the Burnsville City Council, very moderate candidate. I think the Democratic Party this year, both in the state house races and in these congressional races, have run candidates that fit the districts, are very good candidates for those districts, and I'm hopeful about both those seats.
Maureen?
John Klein will win that district in 2nd District. And in the Mark Kennedy, Patty Wetterling race, Patty Wetterling has absolutely raised a lot of money. A lot of money is coming from outside of the state. There's a lot of interest in her race. I believe, though, that Mark Kennedy fits that district in a way that Patty Wetterling does not. And the other thing is he's just one of the hardest working, smartest members of Congress I've ever worked with in Minnesota, and it would be a real loss if that district didn't send him back. But I think it'll be closer than people probably thought 4 or 5 months ago. It's a unique race, as everyone knows. She walks in with 90% name identification. She didn't have to spend money on name identification, which a first-time candidate often has to do. But I think when for that particular district, I think Mark Kennedy is perfectly suited.
Legislative races, do you anticipate any big shift in the composition of the Minnesota House, which is currently controlled by a big, big margin by Republicans, Marie?
I think Republicans do control it by a big, big margin, and that obviously they may lose a few seats along the way. I don't see there any big shift. They will keep the majority in this election, and I think it will bode well for the Minnesota State Senate, who the Democrats are hearing big footsteps behind them.
Amy?
It's an 81-53 margin. It is big, but I think you're going to see a number of seats picked up. Patty Fritz running against Linda Boudreaux down there in Faribault is a great candidate. A number of these seats that are Democratic seats in the Twin Cities, I think, will go Democratic. One of my personal candidates that I like a lot, Frank Moe, who started his race up in Bemidji by dog mushing around the district. He then was accused of not liking meat, and so he entered a chicken wing eating contest, beat his opponent in the chicken wing eating contest, and took an ad out in the Bemidji paper. The results are in: Moe 21, Fuller 14, with a picture of him eating chicken wings. So there are a lot of creative candidates with good, strong ideas out there on the Democratic side, and I predict a number of seats are going to be picked up in the Minnesota House.
Not a lot of time left, but I needed to ask both of you. You have obviously very different political views, but you seem to get along well. Will everybody else, once this election is done, be able to put their grievances behind them? Get behind whoever wins.
These are emotional campaigns. It will take a while, but I have a lot of faith in Minnesotans, and I have a lot of faith in this country that we will move forward. We will choose a president, we will choose a new House, and we will choose new members of Congress, and we will move forward, because these are very important times and interesting times, and it is time since post 9/11 that we get together as a country.
Amy?
Well, Maureen and I have been friends for a long time. I always like going on the radio with her better than TV because she's so much taller than me and then no one can see it. But I will say, and I was hopeful as a moderate Republican, as a number of other moderate Republicans have done, that I could convince her to support John Kerry, but I'm still going to work on it because they're all coming over. But in any case, I think that people will have to be unified after this election. We need a fresh start for this country. We need a fresh start for this state, and we need to go back to the way we were working as Minnesota with new ideas and a better future.
Democrat Amy Klobuchar, Republican Maureen Shaver, thanks for coming by today. We will have live coverage of the president's visit tomorrow on Midday.
I'm Carrie Miller, host of Talking Volumes, and I want to invite you to what I think will be a memorable evening at the Fitzgerald Theater on October 27th. Russell Banks will join us to talk about his newest book, The Darling. It's the story of a woman who breaks her ties with the Weather Underground and flees to Liberia, and Banks is hailed as one of this country's most important novelists. I hope you can join us on the 27th. Tickets are available at 651-290-1221.
You're tuned to 91.1 KNOW-FM, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Programming is supported by Layman's Garage, providing complete mechanical, collision, and glass replacement service since 1917. More information is online at laymansgarage.com. Weather is supported by Bjorling & Grant, a store fusing clean-lined furniture with imported artifacts from around the world, in Minneapolis and at bjorlinggrant.com.
Twin City weather forecast calls for some light rain or drizzle, at least early this afternoon. It's supposed to clear off a little bit as the day goes on, with a high near 55 degrees at last report, officially drizzle and 44 in the Twin Cities. Tonight, partly cloudy with an overnight low around 40 degrees. Then tomorrow, it gets a little warmer, partly cloudy with a high near 60. By Thursday, it could hit 65 degrees. And then on Friday, high of 60 to 65 degrees in the Twin Cities.